Next week marks 35 years since the Chernobyl nuclear plant disaster. The 1986 explosion in the Soviet nation of Ukraine sent radioactive fallout drifting north over to the neighboring country of Belarus. That's where families in Alabama stepped in. During the years 1999 and 2000, more than 200 Belarusian children were flown to the state for medical treatment and a chance to get away from the shadow of Chernobyl. This may have been 20 years ago, but as APR's Pat Duggins reports, the family connections still appear strong.
I have a picture that we took at the lake the other day with Ivan and my other three kids.
Susan Lee lives in Pelham, Alabama.
I showed somebody the other day. I said, here's my four kids. I have four kids. So he's part of our family.
It's not unusual to have a favorite family group shot, but in this case, getting everyone together to say cheese took 15 years. The big reunion took place here. We're at Birmingham Shuttlesworth International Airport in central Alabama. It's late June of 2019, and no one is wearing a face mask. The COVID-19 outbreak is still 8 months away.
Going from the short little 9-year-old shy boy that he was to now.
Susan is there with her husband, her two sons, one armed with a home video camera, and a daughter in a wheelchair.
He's a man, and he's successful, and he's smart, and he's educated, and he's caring and loving.
It doesn't take long for the guest of honor to appear. He's a young man in his early 30s. He's in a t-shirt, shorts, and sneakers. He's also wearing a big grin as he glides down the escalator for hugs captured on video.
And then this over here, videoing, this is Austin. Well, hey.
Greeting someone from out of town at an airport like this isn't all that unusual. But in this case, the term out of town just doesn't seem to cut it.
Yeah, my name is Ivan, so it's like Ivan, Russian. Yeah, so Kovalev.
Ivan and the Lee family last saw each other almost 20 years ago. But when he talks about them, it doesn't sound that way, especially when it comes to Susan.
She was like my second mom. So yeah, it was really cool that I became a member of their family that time. Yeah, it's like 5 minutes and that's it. Yeah.
This is ABC News Nightline. Reporting from Washington, Ed Koppel.
There is some information coming from the Soviet Union tonight, some, but not much.
And it's the international event that drew Ivan and the Lees together that's the point of today's story. It was on April 26th of 1986.
Moscow television tonight.
От Совета министров СССР.
My parents were always big news watchers.
Susan Lee.
Growing up, we were watching the news with them.
For the first time ever, the Soviet Union admits it has had a nuclear accident, and it's clearly a major one.
It's almost certainly the most severe accident that has ever taken place in the short history of civilian nuclear power.
But I don't think at that time anybody really knew the depth of the disaster and how long-term it would be. It just seemed like, similar to a tornado or an earthquake, oh my goodness, this has happened, it's time to clean up.
And from Montgomery, Alabama, where the Environmental Protection Agency has its radiation alert network, there is word that radiation from the Soviet accident could, within a week or so, make its way over the North Polar region to the western United States.
This was all 5 years before Ivan was born. His family lived within 50 miles of the accident. Ivan says as he grew up, he heard about it from his mother and grandmother.
So they told me more about how they moved from the Chernobyl zone to another part of country.
And in case you're wondering, yes, Ivan means that Chernobyl. The nuclear plant disaster in the Soviet nation of Ukraine sent up a cloud of radioactive iodine, cesium, and strontium-90. The fallout drifted north into the nation of Belarus, where Ivan lives to this day. That prompted families in Alabama and the state's United Methodist Church to get involved. Yeah. Starting in the year 1999, an estimated 200 children in the shadow of Chernobyl were flown to Alabama for medical treatment and a chance to spend time away from the threat of radiation.
I think my first real experience with it was a year or two before we had Ivan come stay with us.
Susan Lee and her family weren't part of that first wave, but they saw it.
Some other families in our church hosted. And so being a teacher, being somebody who loves kids, I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
The program became known as Children of Chernobyl. And Ivan says it wasn't just families in Alabama who were in on it.
Actually, I knew about it from my mother.
Soon, a 9-year-old Ivan, known then by the nickname of Vanya, would be making his first plane flight and his first time meeting Americans. He figured his parents knew better.
For example, if you don't want your child go to a country that you hate, so you will not send them to, it will be strange.
It all sounds quick and easy, but organizers say it wasn't. Over the next few days, we'll look at how Children of Chernobyl came together, how it went here in Alabama, and the impact it had on these families, on the children, and on the nation of Belarus itself. In part two, we'll look at how the United Methodist Church got the Alabama program going and how they needed someone on the inside to make it work. That's tomorrow. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.
Next Monday marks 35 years since the Soviet nuclear plant disaster that became known as Chernobyl. Yesterday on APR, we met the Lee family of the city of Pelham. They took in a 9-year-old boy from the nation of Belarus in the year 2000. Belarus is just north of where the Chernobyl plant blew up back in 1986. It's also where a lot of the radioactive fallout drifted. Alabama Public Radio and the University of Alabama's Center for Public Television collaborated on the story on how children from Belarus were brought to our state for visits in the late 1990s. And as APR's Pat Duggins explains, organizers needed an inside man to get the program started.
So he was pretty shy around us for quite a while.
Susan Lee lives in Pelham, Alabama.
He was always happy. He was a boy. He was, you know, had a little mischievous side, but was always fun-loving and happy.
Lee is talking about Ivan. He was just 9 years old when he visited Alabama in the year 2000, and at that time, he spoke no English.
They'll probably be moving all these cars.
Yeah. Ivan Kovalyov and children like him flew to Alabama from the former Soviet nation of Belarus. After changing planes in Frankfurt, New York, and Atlanta, they boarded charter buses for a 2-hour ride to Birmingham. They all look a little tired as they wave to the camera in this 20-year-old video. Each is wearing a red baseball cap. Organizers didn't want them to get lost in the crowd that was waiting for them. As each child steps off the bus, they're greeted by families holding signs with slogans like, "Welcome to Alabama," written in Russian. At first, the youngsters in their red caps are clumped together in one group, and their host families in the other. Each side seems a little unsure of what's next.
Why don't you take a look at each other, not at me. Let me hug you.
Then slowly, everyone is paired off for hugs and a few family photos.
Look at her.
We have plenty of additional cokes and soft drinks. So please come back and get them, as well as sack lunches.
Instead of whisking the children away, the family spread blankets on the grass near the parking lot for a get-to-know-you picnic. In her case, Susan Lee knew Ivan came a long way for that all-American lunch, and why.
It wasn't until many years later that I realized the depth of the disaster and the long-term impact it had and continues to have and will continue to have for years to come.
Ivan and these other youngsters are known as the Children of Chernobyl. Roughly 60% of the former Soviet nation of Belarus was left contaminated by the nuclear plant disaster. Cases of thyroid cancer increased in areas hit by Chernobyl's fallout. That includes young people Ivan's age at that time.
Okay, now we're going to take a family picture right quick. Please, go ahead and get the camera.
The North Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church created the state's Children of Chernobyl program. It meant free medical care and a chance for these young people to be away from the threat of radiation. Still, Susan Lee says it meant a big leap of faith for Ivan's parents to let him come.
I don't know that I could do that for my kids. I don't know if I could send them somewhere without knowing anybody who was going to have, you know, take care of them. And yet his parents trusted us infinitely to be his second parents.
Church leaders in Alabama knew it was a big ask as well, and they needed someone who knew Russia firsthand to pave the way.
Since I'd already lived over there and been a part of doing different projects, I felt like I could add something to that.
That someone was Patrick Friday.
But at the time, they just needed people who had some insight into that, and so they sent me.
That was before the fall of communism in 1991. Now Friday was back in the post-Soviet nation of Belarus on a more delicate mission. These children on a teeter-totter could soon be among those coming to Alabama, but Friday had to win their parents over first. He asked local leaders what he could do to build that trust. They said, bring winter coats for the kids. Friday shot this video in 1996 as he carried big, clear plastic bags to one home. They were full of coats donated by parishioners back in Alabama. First, a little girl around 5 years old steps up. Friday reaches into his bag like a young, thin Santa Claus. He pulls out a small blue coat with a plaid liner. The little customer tries it on and responds with a smile.
It's a great honor to be here. Thank you for your hospitality.
Many meetings and many coats later, the crowds around Friday started growing bigger. A local school even threw a reception. The children performing are all dressed in white. Their costumes are embroidered in red and green, the national colors of Belarus. And there were plenty of introductions. Parents told Friday about their children, where they went to school, what do they like to do. Some would drop gentle hints like, he'll be no trouble at all.
And that's when we said, okay, we're eager to have them come to us, to fly all the way to Alabama and stay with us.
That's all.
Is he still ready to go to America?
Yes.
And despite the smiles, handshakes, and songs, Friday knew a tough moment was coming. That's when these families gathered at the main airport in Belarus's capital city of Minsk to say goodbye.
Think about your own kids. Would you be willing to send your children, let's say they're 7 or 8 years old, to a foreign country to people you don't know? And so that was the look on their face.
That's tomorrow in part 3. Pat Duggins, APR News.
All week long on Alabama Public Radio, we've been looking at the ongoing impact of the so-called Children of Chernobyl program. 20 years ago, Alabama families hosted children living in the shadow of the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear plant disaster. In part 3, APR's Pat Duggins explains what happened when the kids got here.
I mean, it was an impossible situation to get the kids here, to get their visas, to get the plane tickets, to raise the money.
If you've ever traveled overseas, you know what a challenge it can be. Now, consider what Patrick Friday did starting in 1999.
I remember being in the airport in Minsk, the capital of Belarus, and all those families were there, and I was telling them about what was going to happen.
In this 20-year-old video, the kids hold their passports and plane tickets tightly. Some of the parents hold their children even tighter. Years of meetings to reassure everyone just didn't seem to help that day.
They also were really worried about their kids because it's not Europe, you know, it's just America across the ocean.
That's Vita Lutzko. She started working with Friday in 1993.
My mom introduced him to me, and I got a suggestion from Patrick Friday to move to Alabama with a group of kids as my mom's helper, as an interpreter.
And speaking of Vita's mom...
Before the flight, of course, the families were just excited. How would it be, and what would happen, and how the kids would behave, and how, because they didn't know any English.
That's Larissa Shapovalenko, Vita's mother. Now, this mother-daughter translation team would travel with up to 80 children at a time during trips to Alabama.
I was very excited. It was a new experience in everything. It was really interesting for me to explore the world, so yeah.
Ivan Kovalyov is in his early 30s now, but he was just 9 years old when he headed to the United States. His parents first told him about the Children of Chernobyl program and wanted him to go. Looking back years later, Ivan figured they knew what they were doing.
If my parents believed in that program, believed that another people in other country can take care of me, so I think they thought that Americans are good people.
Ivan's parents may have been convinced the overseas trip would go fine, but Larissa Shapovalenko, a little less so.
They didn't know what the plane, how to behave in the plane and everything, so that it was rather difficult.
Everything was exciting. Everything was an adventure. It was like an amusement park everywhere they went.
Patrick Friday.
Certainly, as we came onto a plane, and you had sometimes up to 80 children getting on a plane all at once, then they wanted to try out everything and press all the buttons, and that created some interesting moments.
And that included changing planes in Frankfurt, Germany, then on to New York and Atlanta before arriving by charter bus in Birmingham to meet their host families.
It was interesting because, A, you couldn't communicate.
Susan Lee and her family took in Ivan during his time in Alabama.
They knew no English and we knew no Belarusian. I think they had taught us how to say hello in Belarusian, and that was about it.
And the translation issues weren't just for the host families.
Representing Raytheon, welcome Wesley Hudson.
Guys, especially boys, they liked like when they were taught to play baseball.
Larissa Shapovalenko.
It was rather difficult for me to explain what is going on there, but nevertheless, they enjoy this.
I was telling him he had to take a shower every night.
Susan Lee on living with 9-year-old Ivan.
They don't take showers every day there. It's not 95 degrees and 100% humidity there. So he would go into the bathroom and he would turn the water on, and then he would turn it off and come out and think that I didn't know that he had not taken a shower.
And Susan Lee and her family weren't the only ones making adjustments.
Minyazavut Condit Kogdala. I just said, my name is Condit, how are you?
That's the first phrase in Russian Condit style learned when he and his wife became host parents.
We had a little book of sound alike, look alike. They could point to the term in Russian and we could know what they were saying in English. And it gradually grew. We picked up some Russian, they picked up some English.
While Susan Lee's family hosted 9-year-old Ivan, the Stiles took in an 8-year-old girl named Katya. Condit Style recalls when he and his wife first applied to be host parents.
As we got to talking, my wife and I are both pharmacists.
And that prompted a question from organizers.
What do you think of the idea? Is it possible we could provide a few medicines for them? I said, well, let me do some homework. I'm happy to do that. So it was kind of a collaborative thing.
And that's how the Stiles role got a bit bigger. The children weren't coming to Alabama just for picnics and baseball games.
Listen. You are not going to feel anything, okay?
There was medical care for the children as well. Each visit started off with a trip to the dentist like the one you're hearing now. Wow. There were also checkups by pediatricians and hearing tests. A 2018 United Nations report on the health impact of Chernobyl focused on thyroid cancer. This illness increased steadily to almost 6,000 cases in Belarus by the year 2015, but not everyone seemed convinced, even people who lived there.
And so it was kind of either complete denial or just every second of every day was related to Chernobyl.
Patrick Friday worked in Belarus to arrange the children of Chernobyl visits to Alabama.
They couldn't think about it all the time. It was so devastating. And others had the Chernobyl syndrome, which meant everything that ailed them, they attributed that to Chernobyl. Everything.
Another school of thought was how Chernobyl worsened poverty in Belarus. 60% of the radiation from the disaster fell on that nation. The humanitarian group Chernobyl Children International estimates Belarus spends 20% of its annual budget managing the aftermath of the 1986 nuclear plant disaster. If so, that's money not spent on health, education, or anything else. Patrick Friday says either way, harm was done.
Think about our own kids here in the U.S. and how we see when they live in particular situations, it affects their development, whatever it might be, mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Once the children finished their doctor visits in Alabama, it was off to less scary destinations like video arcades. While this went on, Condit Style was reaching out to other pharmacists for donations.
Antacids, cough syrups, vitamins, aspirin, Tylenol, antibiotic ointment for cuts and wounds, a number of things you don't think about that are always in your medicine cabinet.
Style's Sunday school class held packing parties, so each child got a pair of plastic gallon bags full of medicine. There was also one more request, donated gift wrapping paper.
So we had Mother's Day, and we had Easter, and we had birthday gift wrap, and wedding gift wrap, Christmas, it didn't matter.
There was a reason for that. The medicine Style was gathering were either expensive or unavailable in Belarus. Disguising them as gifts was meant to keep local officials from stealing them. More medicines were sent by mail after the visits to Alabama drew to a close.
So when the departure time came, obviously people just couldn't leave the child at the bus.
Patrick Friday says the families were changed as well. They couldn't just say goodbye.
They needed to go with us to wherever else we were going. So it was kind of like a caravan. We just didn't want to let go. And ultimately, putting the kids on the plane, there wasn't a dry eye. Everybody was crying.
The children did go back, but that's not where the story ends. We'll talk about that tomorrow in Part 4. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.
This coming Monday marks 35 years since the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear plant disaster. All week long, Alabama Public Radio and the University of Alabama's Center for Public Television have been looking at the ongoing impact of the so-called Children of Chernobyl program. It may have been more than 20 years ago, but as APR's Pat Duggins explains, the story is still unfolding.
I had no idea then what it would mean 20 years later.
Susan Lee lives in Pelham, Alabama.
It's changed me in the fact that it's changed my whole family. It's given my kids another sibling. It's given them the opportunity to learn about other countries.
It was beginning of my today's life. So it was like a piece of puzzle.
Ivan Kovalyov was 9 years old when he spent over a month with Susan Lee's family in Alabama. 20 years later, he still remembers.
I like the kindness. Yeah, it's like everybody smiles. It's like a lot of positive. So it was really cool.
Well, they need to learn these motions, don't they?
Even when things didn't work out as expected.
Okay, come on, girls. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on.
20 years have left the sound from this video a little on the squeaky side. It was from when Ivan and the children of Chernobyl got swimming lessons. Susan Lee.
The swimsuit, I went and bought him a swimsuit when he got here. And then when he came to the swim lessons with all the other kids, all the boys took off the swimsuits we gave them and had their Speedos on underneath because in Belarus they wear Speedos. So just lots of funny things that we thought we had all figured out and really had no idea.
All things end, and that included Ivan's time with the Lee family. He and the other children flew home to Belarus. Susan tried to keep in touch, and it worked for a while.
At least through 2004, because Ivan said he remembers getting a picture, a Christmas picture of my two boys. One of my boys was still a baby, and so he was born in 2004. So that may have been our last communication there. And then I sent a Christmas card the next year, and it came back.
That was my first time in America. That was my first time talking with American people.
Translator Vita Lutzko recalling her time in Alabama.
I was crying when I translated for the American parents and the kids because the situations were so touching, actually. They were so, I don't know, I can't say sweet here, but I mean, these trips showed us that we are humans. We are persons. We are people with hearts, first of all.
But there was a question on her mind.
If it is not so cruel to take these kids to America to show them this life and then to take them back.
Organizers of the Children of Chernobyl program didn't list political change as one of its direct goals. To hear Vita Lutzko talk about it, it may have been an indirect one.
They showed their parents, their friends, that life is different. It's not only like in their town, in their village, life is absolutely different. And you can change it if you want.
Protests broke out in Belarus following last year's presidential election. It appears someone wanted change.
I can't lead all my people behind me because I'm more frightened than anybody else among them.
This is part of a BBC interview with Svetlana Tikhonovskaya. She's in exile in Lithuania after running for president of Belarus. She apparently lost to the incumbent, Alexander Lukashenko. And Svetlana Tikhonovskaya was a child of Chernobyl.
I was not surprised. I was not surprised by that.
Patrick Friday organized the program that brought children from Belarus to Alabama. He says Tikhonovskaya's experience was reflected in the message of her campaign.
I can tell you that the future is better if we head that direction. And of course, she was speaking from her experience, being in Europe, I believe being in Ireland, spending the summers there. She knew it. It was not theory to her.
The protests began after Lukashenko declared the election corrupt and claimed victory. Politics is one thing. Susan Lee was just wondering what happened to Ivan, and it was that Christmas card that she sent in 2004 that still bothered her.
And we don't know why it came back. I thought, oh, no, they've moved. And I had no other contacts in Belarus. I had no way of finding them. So I thought they had moved, and that was just going to be the end.
Ivan moved on with his life. Early on, he says he was thinking about trade school. After living with the Lee family, things turned out differently. Ivan earned a full college scholarship and a degree in information technology, better known as IT.
I work at one of the biggest IT company in Belarus. I find a job myself after the college. So now I'm working for 6 years there.
Knowing a thing or two about computers meant that after hours, he had the tools he needed to find the Lees.
First of all, I tried to find her husband, and I found it at MySpace. But it was already closed for that time, yeah.
MySpace might have been a bust for Ivan, but Google Earth was better. Ivan zeroed in on Pelham, Alabama, and found enough landmarks from the Lee family home to confirm they were still there. Next, Susan Lee says she got a note on Facebook Messenger.
It was an email saying, "Are you the family that kept a little boy from Belarus in 2000? And I emailed back. I said, "Yes, that's us." And he said, "It's me, Vanya." It was not just a three-week project. It was not just a little vacation for a kid that wanted to come and experience something new. It was a new family. It was crossing those borders and really making a relationship and seeing how other people live and how different cultures can all come together. And I don't know. I mean, it was life-changing for us.
And the story doesn't end there. Ivan has applied for a work visa so he can live in the United States on an ongoing basis. He'll learn the result, yes or no, next month. Pat Duggins, APR News in Tuscaloosa. Oh, no.